Welcome to this Channel 9 series on release management with Visual Studio Team Services. We've got a lot of good stuff in store for you. First off, though, wanted to tell you a little bit about who we are as your instructors here today. My name is David Tessar. I am a senior technical evangelist at Microsoft, and my blog is itproguy.com. And I've been at Microsoft for about 13 years now, and I work as the lead for our global DevOps technical working group, where we do a lot of things like hackfests with customers, helping them improve their DevOps practices, and things like speaking at a lot of different conferences. I've got hundreds of videos online. Fun facts about myself, I'm an extreme sports enthusiast, and I also have a nonprofit.
Very cool.
There you go.
My name is Donovan Brown. I'm a senior program manager here at Microsoft. I am around all things DevOps that has to do with VSTS or TFS. I blog all the time on all things technology, ways of doing continuous delivery and continuous deployment using our toolset at Donovan Brown. The best way to follow me is just go to Twitter at Donovan Brown, and I will tweet every single time I blog post, so it's really easy to keep up with me. A couple fun facts, I race cars for fun, and I happen to be a professional air hockey player, and I've been ranked as high as 11 in the world at one point, so pretty competitive.
How often are those competitions, man?
They're once a year, unfortunately, and I missed this year, unfortunately, okay. So I actually currently am unranked, so I'm going to have to go correct that next year.
There you go.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So this gives you a high-level idea of all of the different modules. We have five modules in this series. We're going to start off with an overview of release management, and then we'll talk about service endpoints, artifacts, environments, and then visibility as it relates to release management. Before you go through this series, you may want to know a couple different things here. First up, that it would be useful before you start this if you attend the previous course that Donovan and I already recorded, which is on MVA. It's Enabling DevOps Practices with Visual Studio Online, which has been renamed to Team Services, because that really builds upon the release management concepts that you'll see here today. Certainly, you could still pick and choose, although there may be some things that we don't really explain because we assume you kind of know some of the things about build already being there. And then, you know, my other caveat with the little / to Team Services rename, I think that, you know, we'll be okay, but just in case, if we say VSO or Visual Studio Online, we really are talking about Visual Studio Team Services.
Correct.
Or VSTS.
Correct.
This is the new acronym that we're using.
Actually, the old acronym, too, because it used to be VSTS.
I know.
Exactly, so it's back again.
Coming back, yeah. Same acronym, new name.
Exactly,
there we go.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. And then, you know, the other thing on the bottom is that we have the Team Services account. So, you know, that's literally a couple minutes. You can get up and create a new Team Services account. If you want to kind of pause the series as we go along and kind of try and do some of these steps yourself, you can. We'll also provide you a link to a hands-on lab as well if you want to kind of, you know, try and learn as you go and you watch this. All right, so that brings us to our first module, the release management overview. We're gonna dig in now.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So for this particular module, we have the first. We're gonna just tell you a little bit of context with TFS and Visual Studio Team Services. Very brief, but just to kind of set the stage a little bit. We're gonna talk a little, also very briefly, about DevOps practices and what do we mean by that. So it helps you give you a bigger picture of kind of what we're teaching you here today. And then we'll get into release management more specifically on kind of the business value, the history, and some of the things that will set the stage for our later modules. So first up, we have two major services here that both share a functionality. We've got Visual Studio Team Services, which is right our cloud service. And then we have Team Foundation Server, which has been around for a really long time. That is our on-premises version of functionality, right, that provides a lot of different things. It's going to give you a ton of different concepts. For either of these two technologies, they're going to give you a lot of different things to automate all types of aspects. It's going to give you things all the way from source control up to, you know, what we're talking about today, release management, pushing things into production, testing. A lot of DevOps practices are really built on these two fundamental technologies that Microsoft has. So we're going to only scratch the surface of really release management and continuous deployment here today. But it's important to know that these two technologies do a lot of other stuff here at Microsoft.
Absolutely.
And then also it's important to point out that it is open and extensible. So you know we're highlighting one specific aspect of this product and what it can do, and you really have the ability to use different bits and pieces. So for instance, today we're going to show you how you could use Jenkins, for instance, to integrate in with this. It really is flexible, and there's a lot of options with open source, other providers where you can bring these technologies together with TFS and Visual Studio Team Services.
Absolutely, I like to say that it's any language, any platform. All code is created equal. We don't care if it's Java or Node.js or .NET. You can always version it in our version control. We offer both Git and centralized version control. So whatever tool set you're currently using today, you can do it. Work item tracking is in there. So you want to do your agile planning, your test case management, your bug tracking. A lot of people are under the misconception that it's just version control. It's the next version of VSS, and that could not be more wrong. It is everything that you need to take an idea and turn it into a working piece of software. The entire pipeline can be automated through both TFS and VSTS, depending if you have to have it installed on-prem or if you can go ahead and use it as a SaaS offering from us in the cloud.
Test automation, all kinds of good stuff.
All of it's in there.
Right. And then the other thing, the last point I think is good to point out is that you also have the ability to take bits and pieces of whether you want to do it on-premises or in the cloud. Right. So for instance, if you want to do your builds on-premises with TFS, and then connect those up to the release management service, there's one instance where you're using one aspect of on-premises functionality and one aspect of a different kind of functionality in the cloud. It's really up to you on which pieces you want to use where.
Yeah. I think one other thing that's really important to distinguish between the two of them is that the cadence in which they're delivered.
Yes.
Right? So
absolutely.
We are able to update VSTS online every 3 weeks. I mean, it sometimes can be embarrassing to do a demo because I'll do it 2 or 3 weeks later and there's new functionality that I'm not aware of yet because we've updated it that quickly for you. Whereas on-prem, TFS is only updated every 3 months. So every 3 months, we take all those great features that we've been building and testing in VSTS and we offer them to you in the on-prem product.
Yeah, and so on the slide, we have a link there I put because that tells you the cadence, right? And roughly, right, every quarter we roll those up and put them into TFS. But it gives you the roadmap as well as is this feature or this functionality in TFS yet or not? And so, we're going to do today all of our demos in the cloud service.
Yep.
But eventually, right, that functionality will be available in TFS.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay. One more high-level point, because I think it's just good to reiterate this, and that is that we have a native cross-platform, and this is a big shift for a lot of folks. Our old build system, it was really hard, if not impossible, to do a lot of the open source and cross-platform tasks. Whereas now, just right out of the box, we have support for mobile development, right? You see on the screen here, Android, iOS, right, for Xcode, Java, Linux, right? A lot of stuff that's just native, and it's just a task click away from you being able to do those types of items.
Right, and the reason that we can do things like the iOS builds is because the agent that actually does the build runs resident on a Mac or on a PC or on a Linux machine, because to build iOS, you have to be on a Mac. And what's really nice is that our agent will happily run on a Mac for you and build your code for you and then allow us to go ahead and distribute it to your mobile devices. So we're not only talking about DevOps all up, we're talking about mobile DevOps included in there. So it's a really powerful framework. Any language, any platform, and those platforms include Android, iOS, Windows, Mac, Linux, Unix, wherever you want to go, we're able to get you there with the tool set that we have today.
Yeah, we announced that partnership with Mac in the Cloud. So, you wanted that Mac build as a service. There's a native wiring to push those two together.
Yeah, they make it effortless. We announced that at Connect, and it's literally a few clicks, and the next thing you know, you have a Mac waiting to do all your builds for you for your iOS or any other type of Mac development. It's really, really nice.
Cool. Okay. Well, next up, I think it's pretty important to just set the stage of DevOps, right? This is out of scope for this course to really dive into what is DevOps and get to the ins and outs of what it means. But that being said, I think it's at least good for you to orient what is a DevOps practice and how does it relate to what we're going to talk to you about today. you could watch some of our other presentations on kind of the 100-level overview of what is DevOps, right? And then what happens a lot of times is people start to talk about specific technologies, right? People start throwing at you, you know, Chef and Puppet and
Ansible,
you know,
DSC.
Ansible, DSC, yeah. And like you're just swimming in the sea of, you know, technology tools space, right? And it's really hard. You know, you go from this high-level DevOps concept to a specific tool, and you say, well, how is that any of that DevOps, right?
Right.
And the really the answer to that is what we call, you know, a DevOps practice. And these are, you know, not specific to any particular tool or technology, and they can be implemented in a lot of different ways. So in the slide example, you know, we give you infrastructure as code and continuous integration. I'd say those are two more well-known practices that are industry known, right? Continuous integration has been out for a long time. You can do it in a lot of different ways, right? There's a lot of different ways to implement that. You know, release management we look at as another way, a DevOps practice, right? And that can be done in a lot of different ways. We're going to give you, you know, here in this course, the way to do it with Visual Studio Team Services. So more specifically, this is a larger list of DevOps practices. You know, we're going to cover today and show you with one implementation, right, of how to do continuous deployment and release management. That being said, it's also very important to point out that all these other practices that you see here are ones that really could be built quite easily upon this release management service that we are. At least for our particular implementation, it makes it very easy to, for instance, add automated testing because we'll show you briefly, not in depth, but briefly how that it's really easy to add, let's say, automated tests to your release management pipeline. So although those things are different, release management is a very key fundamental aspect from our perspective to really light up a lot of these other things.
Absolutely. All the DevOps practices I see listed there, we could do with one of the tools that we have or features inside of VSTS and TFS as well. So as you pointed out, we're just going to focus on a couple of those today, but we have the power to implement all of those with our tool set.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another also good reminder here is just the overview of the application lifecycle. This is something that every single company is going to have to go through, right? So no matter, and this has been this way for a long time, right? This is nothing new, in terms of what you have to accomplish, right? If you're going to put any kind of development effort in, you need to plan for what is it we're going to write. We're going to have to develop and test that thing we're going to code. We're going to have to release that into some environments, ideally right into the customer's hands, and then we're going to have to do some form of monitoring and learning of is that thing working or not, whatever that happens to be, whether that's a client app or a service, it doesn't really matter, and then you start that whole cycle all over again, right? That's been this way for a long time. The difference is in how, what the people, the process, the things that happen underneath that hood, right? In the DevOps world, right, it's important that everybody that's involved in this whole cycle really works together through the whole life cycle of this aspect. And it's also important to point out that here today, we're really only going to be covering the release aspect. Not surprising as a release management course, but just putting this in context of the bigger picture of where we're at.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So more specifically, we'll call out kind of some of the things that happen in the release phase. Not all these things have to happen, but it gives you kind of a rough idea of some of the different options or things that happen in this release phase of the application. You'll notice down at the bottom, you'll see automated functional testing, right? Because, you know, you do, let's say, unit tests and other things in the early on in the build process. At a certain phase, different components need to come together and they need to make sure those things work, right? Usually you're going to do that inside of a release management pipeline. Other things like, you know, load tests, cloud-based load testing. You want to test right before you go to production to know that code can handle the load that's there. And of course, throughout this whole thing, it's moving, you know, the release management process as well, is you're moving those builds and those things through the overall life cycle.
Yep.
Okay. So next up, we want to explain the two DevOps practices that we will be showing you off today and what does that mean more specifically. Continuous deployment is the first one, and I look at this usually as a continuation of continuous integration, but doesn't always have to be that way. But what continuous deployment says is that when we set up some kind of configuration between our wherever our build source is at and this particular single environment, in this case we're labeling it dev, and when we check in some type of code into source, a build shows up, that would be kind of one of the steps of continuous integration. But the idea is that that new build is there. It's a good build. And because of that configuration between those two environments, we get that setup or that configurator says, oh, a new build's there. I'm going to automatically detect that and push that into that environment. That in and of itself is what continuous deployment is. Why would you do that? Well, you would do that for a lot of different reasons. If we look at kind of lean concepts, right? One of the things is you don't want to be waiting. You don't want to have waste of manual things, right? You don't want to have build is there and you wait for some person for hours or days or minutes even really to get that build into an environment to start testing or doing other things. So it really helps save more agility and accelerate delivery with whatever you're doing in your software development practice.
Right, because I've been on a lot of teams where the deployment of the software from our build system to our environment was manual. So those are hours that my developers are burning doing deployment versus actually having it automatically deployed mm-hmm. for them. So by using tools like the ones we're going to be talking about today, that time that your developers used to spend on deploying the code is now done automatically for them. So they can focus on adding value and not on deploying the bits that they just produced, right?
Yeah.
So it's a huge benefit.
And you know, if you're an ops guy too, you would save you time as well,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
You don't want to ever go through a manual deployment Gawker. You don't want to be the bottleneck, right?
And, exactly.
And a single person or even a team of people, they only scale so much.
Right.
When you're doing many builds a day, you're just not going to have the bandwidth to do that.
Absolutely.
And it's really a routine task, right?
Right.
Any routine task is something, whether you're dev or ops, you should just automate it. Right?
Exactly, because humans get bored doing the same thing all the time, and we make mistakes on something
that
should have been simple, right?
That's right. So you free up that ops guy's time to maybe automate more things or help in other ways.
Or learn from what we've been doing and decide if we need to scale up or scale down our infrastructure.
That's right.
There's a lot of stuff they should be focused on. Delivering code isn't one of them.
Yeah, that's right. And I will say that conveniently, the pictures here, you'll notice dev and ops, There is a little bit of resemblance here, you know.
I thought those were awesome when we saw those.
Yeah, so, you know, you're an ops person, right? You need to care about where, you need to at least be aware of this. So even if you do have continuous deployment enabled, right, you're probably in control of some aspect of the environment or maybe managing costs of that environment, maybe ensuring that, you set up the continuous deployment process. Getting that there and making sure that everything really happens and it keeps deploying, right?
Right, because I hear a lot of people, it's almost like a fear that DevOps is trying to automate everything and literally automate me out of a job. It's like we're not getting rid of ops. We're just kind of changing what you do and where you focus, right?
Right?
We're actually letting you do the job we hired you to do. We didn't hire you to deploy code for us.
Yeah.
You deploy code for us because you don't trust us to touch the machines anymore because of this distrust that has been built up over years of technical debt and all sorts of things. So we're not trying to get rid of the ops guy. We're trying to let you do the job we hired you to do, which is monitor the infrastructure, make sure it's performing the way it's supposed to. And these tools are going to go a great deal of helping you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so next up, we're going to talk a little bit about release management. What does the release management DevOps practice mean? Well, here we've got in this case, it's a code, but let's just say that's a build, okay, of a particular application. That build then has the ability to go from one environment to the next all the way until it goes into production or wherever it hits customers' hands. That concept, right, we're calling that release management, right? Some way to take known good piece of software and track it through the overall system.
Literally
right?
release it,
yeah.
right?
Release
you're literally
it.
Releasing,
yeah, releasing
it to
it, right?
the public,
right.
exactly.
I mean, release management, it's
in the name.
It's in the name. You
exactly.
manage the release, right?
Exactly. It's like a grow-up story from continuous deployment.
Yeah.
Continuous deployment is, I want to integrate as quickly as I can. I want to get it into an environment where I can determine if it all works. But when I want to release this, there's a lot more that goes on in that. It's not just copying the files from dev to QA. It's making sure that the configuration has been updated so that my database connection strings are pointing at the right versions of our database and our backend servers. That passwords that need to be different in dev and QA are actually managed for you. And that approvers are actually brought into the mix and saying, hey, before I go into your QA environment, maybe I need to get the QA lead's approval because I don't want to trounce his code and then all of a sudden invalidate all of his test results. So release management takes continuous deployment to like the next level and allows you to automate the movement of your code from a build all the way into production into their customers' hands.
Yeah, yeah, and so you know, you could have release management without continuous deployment. You could have continuous deployment without release management. And so I think there's sometimes a confusion with people, and they think, well, I've got continuous deployment, and it's like, but then I ask questions like, well, where is the code or the feature that you you delivered? Which environments does it exist in? And then you get this, let me get back to you.
Exactly.
You
know?
You know?
You should be able to monitor that and quickly tell us that answer.
And you may have a bunch of different steps. You know, there's lots of different ways to know you're not doing release management. But like again, it could be both ways, right? You could have a entirely manual process, no continuous deployment, right? No automated deployments, but you have a release management pipeline where you've got a bunch of manual tasks that you execute, but you can at least see where things are at.
That's still a process.
So that's right. Yeah, that's right. I will mention here, because it's in the slide, MTTR, mean time to repair or recovery. It kind of depends on the person. That's one metric or one way to measure it. And that I would say that's more tied to like release management as it relates to roll back, roll forward, where you have a quicker time to recovery if you've got a full system where you can say, let's just push, you know, roll back to the previous build or other things. So just giving you some different ideas on these slides on ways you might measure that. And lead time is another one that's not listed here that we'll talk about later when we get to the last presentation. Okay, so diving in a little bit deeper on release management benefits. You know, we talked a little bit about it in the last slide, but we're gonna go just one click deeper on why you care and what does it matter. So in this particular case, we're saying this is a deployment and task automation pipeline. Okay, you know, deployment pipeline is a common term that's kind of out there, and you know, there's a lot of different things that enables, right? Again, it's, you know, deployment pipeline. You could have a deployment pipeline that has no release structure; it's totally random, you know. But in this case, right, when we enable a release management, you've got a very structured way to go through the environments. And I put task automation because, at least in our case, you know, that release management pipeline gives you a lot of flexibility to do other things other than just track a release. So next up, the other thing we have is the ability to automate the approval workflow.
Right.
You know, in some organizations that I've seen, you know, they're using ITIL and some other things where they've got a change advisory board and they've got this whole other separate system of all these other things that go on. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. We don't have time. I'd recommend watching the ITIL and DevOps course to really get more into that concept. But what I'm saying is, you know, if you've got a release management process and it's just a checkbox to get the release to happen, as opposed to some other system, a bunch of emails and a bunch of other process that's, you know, in the lean world that could be considered waste. Yeah. You know, it makes it literally a trackable, click a button type of message, and it goes on, right? So having that kind of approval workflow built into your release management pipeline is really beneficial for streamlining your delivery of your software. Next up, we have this option, which is deploying the same way to all of the stages, right? You know, I've seen where customers, they have, you know, very different things in different environments, and the process may theoretically be the same, but then when it comes down to it, well, it's not exactly the same way. And this can really lead to, if you don't have consistency between your environments, this can really lead to a lot of different things, right? Configuration errors. Deployments don't actually happen because the deployment's done way different in dev versus, you know, test or stage or prod. It's so different and the process is so different across all these phases that leads to late nights, you know, when a release comes around and things coming up and you've got a lot of pain happening there.
Right. Yeah. And I also, what I like about our release management is you only have to build the code once, right? And we're going to allow you to move that code. I know a lot of customers who build every time they want to go to a different environment. And every time you build, you add risk, right? Because there could be any number of reasons why those zeros and ones are not identical to the zeros and ones we push to the other environment. But using release management, what we do is we take the exact same bits that we just deployed in one environment, and then we repeat that deployment for you in the next environment, just modifying your configuration. It reduces the risk by a great deal, knowing that I just blessed these in one environment, and those are the same zeros and ones going into the next environment.
I will say a little caveat, we're better together story here, and we'll actually show you some of this later, is infrastructure as code being paired with this.
Absolutely.
Right? So not only is the process and the steps the same way and the build the same across there, but the infrastructure has consistency all the way as well. And so when you pair those two things together, it gives you an even better same way to all stages.
Agreed.
Right?
Kind of agreed.
Okay, next up, full traceability. This is a really important concept for folks. Because you need to know what has changed, what are the features, functionalities that are here, who checked in what that broke what, and where are things at, right? Like where in this overall stream is the stuff that we need to care about, right? I mean, this could be something as simple, so to speak, as a release thing, like maybe you have a public website or a change log on your local client software or whatever it is, right? If you've got an iOS, Android app, universal Windows app, whatever, you've got the release notes for the app in the store, right? Like, what is it that we put in here, right? And so having a way to trace not only the changes, but kind of roll up what is the value that you're delivering to your customers is important, right? I mean, yeah.
And it needs to be very easily accessible to you, right? So you don't want to have to jump from page to page. If I'm looking at a particular release, I'd like to be able to quickly see what check-ins were committed to the repository that created this release, what work items were the developers working on, what bugs were they fixing, what build triggered this. And what we do in VSTS and TFS is allow you just to click away, right? Everything that you need is right there in front of you. If you click on it, we'll take you to a deeper dive of that information and always be able to bring you back. So the traceability is really easy to surface.
Yep, and so our last module of the series, we will go deeper into that point specifically.
Absolutely.
Last up, you know, and this is kind of a higher level thing, but it gives you the ability to manage the whole stack if you want, right? So all the way from infrastructure, right? If you had an infrastructure as code task, you have a test, you have an approval, all of those different things. This is where I think, you know, not all release management systems will kind of enable you this type of power, but at least for Microsoft solution here that we're going to talk to you about today, it does give you that ability to manage that whole stack. So, you know, soup to nuts, right? Everything from builds to tests to infrastructure to approvals, right? We have one system that helps you pull all of that together. Again, kind of back to the helping you streamline your efforts and delivering your value back to
Absolutely.
Your customer. Okay, so I'll let you.
So what we actually have a version of release management that's already out in the wild, right? And that's not the version that we're talking about today. We've made some key changes in the way that we used to do release management, or the product and the new one. I think the biggest change is there's no longer a client that you have to install to start utilizing some of this functionality and power. It's all web-based, completely web-based. And that's why you'll see that there's some check marks on one side that might not be on the other that are coming, because we've completely rewritten it so that it can be basically web first, right? We want to think and make sure that it's web native and we're not trying to hack something together. So you'll see that the bottom, for example, automatic rollbacks and manual interventions, we have workarounds that exist today for those functionality, but they are going to come back into the product as first class implementations and features in our product. Obviously cross-platform, our old one really was not. The agent only ran on Windows machines. To get to a Linux box, you'd have to employ things like Chef, which we have a great partnership with. I'm not saying anything negative about that. But we could not run our deployment agent natively on a Mac. We could not run it on a Linux machine, but that's all changed with our 2015 offering. We can actually run the agents directly where they're supposed to be. And now, if you go back and watch the course that David and I did on build, it's the exact same user interface and the exact same look and feel inside of our release management system. And that was on purpose. We want you to be immediately familiar with RM after spending some time with build. So the tasks that you use are the same. The authoring experience is extremely similar, so that it's not like, oh, I know build now, but now I have to go learn something completely new to go figure out how release works. Nope, they're almost identical, and we're going to be highlighting what makes them different today in this course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll dive deeper into that. And I will say, just to reiterate too, I mean, the release management service, again, we're delivering 3 weeks or sooner, potentially down the road, right, to you in production, right, to you that is using the service. So, I mean, depending on how long after this recording, we're here December 2015, some of this may already be there. There may be more things that are there. But nonetheless, the framework of what we're going to be teaching you today should be consistent and last a longer duration of time.
You just brought up a really good point, or made me think of something. We actually use these tools to deliver our product every 3 weeks, right? So the VSTS that you're using was delivered with VSTS itself every 3 weeks. So these are tools that we not only are giving to you, that we trust so much that we're using internally ourselves as well.
Okay, so now I just wanted to give you a little bit of an idea of some resources for you to latch onto and learn more if you want to get hands-on. This is a new hands-on lab that we have that's up on GitHub, and it uses our sample Parts Unlimited application, but it walks you from continuous integration, which is a separate hands-on lab, all the way through continuous deployment and releasing that using Visual Studio Team Services as a specific example. Now, we're not going to be using this actual application for our demonstration today. That being said, a lot of the steps and the things you're going to learn are similar. We're going to go a deeper click in explaining, having you know what is all is happening, how are things cross-related than what you would get from the hands-on lab, but absolutely being this would be a complimentary resource that I wanted to call out here at the beginning for you.
Perfect.
Okay. And then this is the general slide on kind of a bunch of different resources that we have for you to enable DevOps, right? The resources from Microsoft. So the top one there is kind of our Microsoft DevOps homepage. There's an infrastructure as code white paper. We have a bunch of different courses. The DevOps MVA has the course that we mentioned earlier that Donovan and I shot, amongst a number of other ones that are related to DevOps and DevOps practices. We have also a self-maturity assessment for DevOps to give you kind of a high-level idea of how are we doing as a company as it relates to DevOps, or maybe you're not even there yet and you just want to start to get in some ideas. That is a self-assessment we have online.
One thing about that self-assessment that I really like is that depending on how you answer the questions, we give you suggestions on what you should go focus on or what you should try to do in your organization to get to that next level of DevOps. So if you tell us we're not doing anything with continuous integration, clearly we're going to say you need to go get continuous integration in place so that you can go off and start utilizing some of this. So it's not just you're not good at DevOps, but hey, we realize that you're doing this. Maybe you should go invest in this area to get your DevOps pipeline where it needs to be.
Yeah. The way I look at it is, I mean, we tell you the habits, which are kind of high-level buckets, and then within those habits, there's one or more DevOps practices that will actually help you move along, and we kind of give you some of that in the output of after you finish that, maybe 15 minutes or so, or 30 minutes, depends on who, if you can answer all the questions, you may have to bring in multiple people, right? You never know.
Depending on your role, absolutely.
Yeah. And then the last one there, again, I'll call out just the Parts Unlimited applications. There's a bunch of hands-on labs and things that are there for you to learn and practice and implement some of the DevOps practices using our technology. The MRP one's a pure Linux app, uses Java. It's basically nothing Microsoft other than we show you how to use Azure and Visual Studio Team Services to kind of orchestrate a bunch of different stuff.
Absolutely. But,
okay, so with that, we are going to call it a wrap on this presentation. And stay tuned for our next module in this series. And yeah.
See you then.
See you then.
Thanks.